Christianity's habitual respect for the dignity of women. And I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat. But before I start, I want to say how y'all pray for me. Overwhelmed I have been and am with the love that has been extended to me while I was so sick. Mm-hmm. And the prayers that went up that saved me.
Yeah.
And the love that has been expressed to me since I've been here today and yesterday, well, and all weekend. And I love you till I can barely stand it. So, Christianity's habitual respect for the dignity of women.
Love it.
A few years ago, I read a really great book by a Canadian professor named Northrop Frye, and that's where I'm stealing my title from his book. He was talking about Christ's Sermon on the Mount, and he said that it was a positive interpretation or explication of the Ten Commandments, and that's really true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in there he said that in Christ's sermon there, Christ stressed Christianity's habitual respect for the dignity of women, and he's exactly right. I want to assure you today that the Christian religion, above all other world religions, honors the dignity of women.
Amen.
Yes.
It's better than any of the other world religions. And the Muslim religion is at the bottom of the heap.
That's right.
Right.
In the Muslim religion, a woman is little more than property to the man. And I cannot sufficiently abominate such an attitude. Christianity, on the other hand, actually esteems women equal with men.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm glad you men are saying amen. You men better be saying amen while I'm preaching this.
Amen.
I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 11:3. Some of you preachers knew where I was going before I went there. And I love you so, I say again. Y'all sent cards to me, emails, when I was unconscious, but I was pretty sick. Enough of that. We got to forget that and think about the Bible. Whenever I counsel a young couple, I always start with this one. This is where I start. When I counsel a young couple that's thinking about getting married, this is where I start. And you ladies out there might be interested to know that I am way harder on the young man. I get up in his grill from the get-go. That's whoever said that. That's right. That's right. So listen to this. This is God's word, 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
The head of every man. Every man that lives on this planet should consider Christ his head. Now, I know there's some that are dead in sins and can't do that. But those of us that are born of God and know something about it, we ought to be considering Christ our head. Every man. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Now here's what I always tell the man when I'm getting up in his grill. I say, you are to submit to your head, Jesus Christ, in all things, every day of your life, as you take on the responsibility of being a husband and father.
Right.
Bottom line. And then I say, now ladies, I want you to notice this, because the ladies, they're thinking I'm going to be mean to them. I say, I want you to notice that. Christ, the head of Christ is God, and Christ himself said that he was equal to God. So the fact that right here in the Bible it teaches, you know what I call this? I call this verse right here God's flow chart of authority.
Right.
That's what I call it.
Yeah.
You got God, Christ, the man, the woman, and incidentally, children aren't even in the list.
Right.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, that's not that they're not important, it's just that they're not in authority over anybody yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, I'll say this, parenting is to raise children so that one day, when they get into the place where they are in authority, they can properly exercise that authority under the headship of God and Christ.
Right.
That's what parenting's all about. Okay. The head of Christ is God. Christ has ever been equal with God, but he submitted to the Father in everything. So, ladies, when the Bible here says that the man is your head, it does not mean that you're not his equal. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Clear, yeah. Too.
Okay. All right. And also, we're told in the Bible how we men are to love our wives.
Right.
As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And that doesn't mean that verse, I'm sorry, brethren, that verse is not talking about Christ dying for the elect. Because right there below it says, with the washing of the water by the word,
right.
Unless you're going to get that factored into eternal salvation, you're going to have to reinterpret that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about Christ living every day of his life for the local church, which in my understanding is the one in Jerusalem, the very first one. Mm-hmm. He lived his life and did his ministry for that local assembly. Mm-hmm. I'll just let you think about that. And then at the end of his life, he died for the whole elect family.
That's right.
Oh, I just love it so much. Now, husbands, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We're to cherish her, love her, provide for her, protect her. Yes, through all of her mood swings. Did I say that? Yes. Because you know what? They have to put up with us when we don't put our dirty underwear in the hamper. Come on. Okay. I want y'all to know, it is at least my opinion, and I hope yours, that God's word, there is not one shred, not one particle of sexism in God's word.
Amen.
That's right.
This document is not sexist. It is not misogynistic. It is not anti-woman. It is pro-woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Christianity recognizes has respect for the dignity of women. Now, I want to give you 7 or 8 or 9, depending on whether or not I can get my thoughts together, reasons why I say that according to the Bible, okay? Number one, in Old Testament times, war was for men and men only.
That's right.
Somebody said it should still be that way, and that's what I think too. You know, it's kind of funny. Kind of funny. I know I've said this before, but you know, I take seriously my responsibility to protect Becky. You come in my house after Becky, I am going to shoot you. I will shoot you. And I will ask questions later. You know what? She never thinks one thing about protecting me. What's up with that? You know what's up with that? God's flow chart of authority is what's
right,
up with
right,
that.
Right. Yeah.
I take that so seriously. I'm telling you, if they arrest me, I'm going to protect my wife. If they put me in jail, so be it. Y'all understand me?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, in the Old Testament times, war was for men. Women did not go to war. Now, for some of you who may have wondered why when they came out of Egyptian bondage, and in the book of Numbers, and actually in the book of Exodus, they numbered the Israel, that why they just numbered the men. I can just hear, y'all forgive me please, but I can just hear some person who's been misguided by so-called feminism saying, well, how come you don't number the women? You don't want to know why? Because in Numbers chapter 1, you can go read it, but I'm going to hurry here. It says in verse 45 and 46, here's what it says. Numbers 1, so were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward. All that were able to go forth to war in Israel.
That's right.
Even all they that were numbered, and I love this, the Bible's so specific, were 600,000 and 3,000 and 550. 600, 3,000, 550. Men above 20. And I promise you, if I had read that, when I was going to grad school in 1988, and yes, there was such a thing as grad school in 1988, the feminists would have been pitching a fit that it doesn't mention women. You know why it doesn't mention women? Women weren't supposed to go to war. That's why. Later on in the book of Numbers in 11:21, it speaks of this same 603,000, and it calls them, and I quote, footmen. Footmen. You know what that means? Foot soldiers.
Right.
Infantry.
Right.
Men were to go out and conquer Canaan, not women.
Right.
That's point number one. Christianity's historical respect for the dignity of women. It's all through the Bible. Ladies, we are for you. God is for you.
Amen.
Christianity's for you.
Amen.
This book is not against women.
Right, right.
Of course, nowadays, people that don't know what a woman is, even. You didn't know the Bible will tell you what a woman is.
Yeah.
Oh, well, boy, that... can you believe we got to even say such as that? All right.
Yeah.
Point number two of my 8 or 10 points. Five?
He said
did I say 8 or 9? 8 or 10? I don't know. We'll see. Number two, yeah. In the ceremonial all time, a widowed woman in Israel was to be married by a near kinsman who was also single. This would keep her from being destitute and left without support. Deuteronomy 25:5, other places. Do y'all realize how magnificent that is?
Yes.
That God was looking out for widowed women during the ceremonial law time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is God for women?
Yes.
God is so for women, it's crazy. I'm going to get to my favorite part here in a minute. I'm saving it for last. Imagine that. And I'm going to say this. The only logical feminism. The only logical feminism. Now, there's a lot of illogical feminism. Illogical feminism, which I never understood the illogical feminism, which is we hate men, we hate the patriarchy. The problem with culture is men are in authority and in control. And then the very thing the feminists that claim to hate men do is they do their dead level best to be just like men.
Right.
Now, I never have understood that.
Right.
To me, the only logical feminism is to advance and laud and thank God for the biblical function of the women.
Amen.
That's the only logical thing. Let us exalt motherhood.
Amen. Amen.
And being godly wives, let us exalt that. By the way, this would save America.
Right.
It would save America. Okay. Number three. Three of my 8 or 10 points. Even in New Testament time, before there was any such thing as government welfare or social insecurity,
right.
Widows who were, as the Bible calls them, widows indeed and desolate, were to be taken care of by the local church.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's in the Bible too.
Amen.
Does the Bible have a habitual respect for the dignity of women?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We've got three expectant mothers in Point Remove Church. Now, I have not yet patted them on their baby bump. I'm not going to do that. But you know what? There is nothing more beautiful
Amen.
To me
Amen.
Than an expectant mother.
Amen.
They glow somehow. Becky, when Becky was carrying the boys, I thought she was so beautiful, I just couldn't believe it. And she thought she was a beached whale. Well, I didn't believe that at all. I don't agree with that at all. Motherhood is fabulous.
Amen.
Femininity is fabulous.
Yeah.
Masculinity is a pretty good thing, too, if we'll get it straight, for crying out loud. But you know what this crazy, whacked out feminism has done? It's pretty much ruined masculinity, too.
Amen.
Men don't know how to be men.
Right.
Women don't know how to be women. I'm sure glad I'm leaving right after this sermon. Or shortly after. But look, the Bible is for the women. It's for mothers. It's for wives. The Bible is for children too.
Mm-hmm.
According to 1 Timothy, back to this, okay. Widows that were widows indeed, as the Bible calls them, and desolate, were to be taken care of by the local church. And it even is so specific. This is 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 4. I'm rushing along here. The Bible is so specific that even if that widow had sons or even nephews that could take care of her, they were supposed to.
Right.
So you had to be very, very particular about which ones were to be taken care of by the local church. But if she was a widow indeed, she was to be. Isn't that great?
Yes.
God and the Bible honoring habitually the dignity of women. Okay, number four, back to the Old Testament now. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 25 through 27, and this is, we find that rape was to be punishable by death.
Yeah.
What say ye?
Amen.
Our society is so mixed up, so upside down and backwards, that we don't believe in capital punishment, but we believe in killing babies.
Right.
That is so messed up.
Amen.
Yeah. The Bible teaches that if a man is so pathetic, that's pretty strong language,
Amen.
That he will force a woman, he forfeits his life, and I say, Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's the way it should be in the United States of America right now.
Amen. Sure.
Now, I know what the Bible says. Listen to me. I know what the Bible says about in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall all this happen. You know, we got to be very careful about putting people to death with no witnesses.
Right.
The Bible's specific about that. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. You weren't even allowed to put somebody to death under the mouth of one witness. Right. Biblically.
Right.
That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Can y'all believe the Bible's that specific about stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? That passage in Deuteronomy specifically says that rape is equal to the taking, the premeditated murder. That's what it says is equal to that. It says it right there in the Bible. Now I ask you, is God, does the Bible and Christianity have a habitual respect for the dignity of women, or doesn't it?
Yeah.
I promise you, in Muslim nations, it is not so.
No.
And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the way it is.
Amen.
All right. John chapter 19. You want to read a little bit in God's Word with me? So men and only men went to war. Widowed women were to be married by a near kinsman. By the way, I forgot to say, the widowed is, you know, being married by a near kinsman. That's how Boaz got Ruth.
Yeah.
That's how Boaz got Ruth.
Amen.
Man, that's a love story if ever there were one.
Amen.
What was their son's name? I forgot.
Obed.
Yeah, you remember Obed, and then Jesse, and then... And by the way, you know who Boaz is? This is interesting too. You know who Boaz's daddy was? Well, who was Boaz's daddy and mama? Salmon.
Yeah.
And Rahab the harlot.
Yeah.
And just let that soak in. Did you know the Rahab the harlot joined the Old Testament church?
Amen.
What is up with that? And you know what they didn't say to Rahab the harlot? They didn't say, "Now, Sister Rahab, we're glad for you to come, but you just can't join." They didn't say that to Rahab.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
And she joined Old Testament church, and she found her a godly husband by the name of Salmon, and then you got Boaz, and right on down the line, she's in the lineage of Christ.
Right.
Does that not blow your mind?
Yeah.
And do y'all see then? So the ceremonial law made provision for the little Ruths running around.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
The Bible honors the dignity of women.
Right.
It considers women equal with men. I will go so far as to say, in a lot of ways, women are better than men.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of ways.
You want an amen, brother?
Some woman say an amen to that. But they are. And you men know it. Now, there's, all right, also, now you ladies say amen to this one. There's ways in which the man is superior to the woman.
Yes.
That's just the way it is. So you know what the best idea is? For them to marry each other and communicate with each other and get along and get the benefit of each one of them as one. That's the best idea.
Yeah.
And I tell you right now, away with the idea, the feminist idea that women are better than men. And then away with the idea, the chauvinist idea, that men are better than women.
Amen.
Christianity says we should esteem each other better than self.
Yes. Right.
That's Christianity 101.
Yes, it is.
Well, it'll work in a marriage. In fact, it's the only thing that will work.
Amen.
I tell you right now, when it comes to loving babies, you better turn it over to the mamas. Loving babies. Amen. It won't hurt you to change a diaper.
Amen.
It won't hurt you. I hope Seth doesn't listen to this. I remember the first time I changed Seth's diaper, he peed in my face. And you know what? I was so glad, I was about to cry my eyes out, that he worked. He was working. I'm serious. Now, y'all don't tell Seth I said that. But I'm telling you right now, when it comes to mothering babies, you turn it over to the mothers.
Yeah.
Right. All right, you men, listen to me. You better be the primary disciplinarian in your home.
Yeah.
Men, suck it up.
Yeah.
Get with it. Just admit that that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, that's mean right there. That's just purity mean. But I'm telling you, God's got this thing organized just right. He recognizes the dignity of women, and we men are to recognize that and honor it according to God's holy word. It's wonderful. By the way, when it says the weaker vessel, that means physically.
Right.
That's all that means.
That's right, right.
So Becky's got this double Dutch, she's got two double Dutch ovens. And she wants them on the top shelf. I never have understood that. Why not put it on the bottom shelf? Actually, I asked her that the other day. She said, "Well, I don't use them very often." Okay. Well, guess who gets to put that double Dutch oven up on the top shelf? And guess who's perfectly happy to do it too, by the way? You know why? I am Becky's man. That's why. I am Becky's man. I am so glad to be her man, I don't have words to describe it. Everybody brags on John and Seth. They say, "Boy, you have a couple of good boys." I said, "Well, they had a real good mama. She raised three boys." I say it every time. I'll say something else since I'm off, sawing this limb off behind myself. Proverbs 31, woman, brought income into the home.
Right.
Yeah. I'll just let you study on that. The Bible's so perfectly balanced, it's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
All we need to do is study this book right here and go by it.
Right.
With reference to the relationship between men and women. It's in the Bible. There's not one particle, not one shred of sexism in the Bible.
Right.
Not a particle. know men in the Bible abused things. I know they did. I know women did too. I can tell you about men that abused things. And I can tell you about some women that abused things. Delilah. Yep. If you love me, you don't love me. You do not love me. If you love me, you'll tell me. Delilah. Right? Okay, ladies, that's not the way you're supposed to be. But neither are men supposed to be like, what's his name, Tamar. Okay. Okay. I told you to turn to John 19, and look how far around the horn I have gone. John 19, for point number 5. This is, it's unbelievable. Verse 26, I'll just read it to you. Well, I'll tell you, Christ is hanging on the cross. He is on the cross. Bleeding and dying. At the end of his life. When Jesus therefore, that's verse 26, John 19. Everybody with me? I'll start verse 25. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Christ is on the cross. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. That is the way John refers to himself in the book of John. Right. So here's Christ on the cross. He sees his mother Mary. He sees John the apostle. He saith unto his mother Mary, hanging on the cross, bleeding and dying. Yeah. Woman, behold thy son. Speaking of John, not himself.
That's right.
Then said he to the disciple, I'm not doing very good this morning. He says to John then, behold thy mother.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mary. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Do you realize what Jesus Christ just did? He honored his mother.
Yeah.
Most Bible scholars think this is because about this point in time, Mary's already a widow. You know what Jesus is doing? He's seeing to it that his own mother is taken care of after his disease.
Right.
Yeah. That is, all right, I ask you, does the Bible, does Christianity recognize, have a habitual respect for the dignity of women?
Yes, sir. Yes, it
does. Look at that right there. This is Christ. Okay. Number 6. Professor Fry talked about the Sermon on the Mount being a positive spin or interpretation or exegesis of the Ten Commandments, and he's exactly right, but it also, that Christ makes the Ten Commandments internal.
Yeah.
Yes.
It gets us all. Mm-hmm. So in the Sermon on the Mount, and I don't know how to say this, we are forbidden to look at a woman as a sex object. I don't know how else to say that. You're just not allowed to do that. Does Christianity recognize that and have a habitual respect for the dignity of women?
Yes.
Look at that. Even attitude. Let me read it to you. It's painful. Ye have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, isn't that something? You know what Jesus is saying? He says, I am greater than Moses.
Right.
And he was.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Greater than Solomon, greater than Moses, greater than the law, greater than the prophets, greater than all. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart, there you are. Christianity's habitual respect for the dignity of women. We are to look on women as sisters in the Lord.
Yes.
We are to look upon them as fellow saints, redeemed souls. That's how we're to look at them. Okay. Isn't that something? And finally, my favorite. God in His Word, Christianity, does so honor and respect the dignity of women that in the New Testament, the local church, you understand, I mean this body right here, the local assembly, is referred to as the bride of Christ.
Yes.
And the mother of us all.
That's right.
Isn't that great? The Bible does not refer to the local church as the slave of Christ or the servant of Christ, although, of course, as a wife, she is to serve him. Right. And yes, ladies, as a wife, you are to serve your husband. Husbands, as a husband, you're supposed to serve your wife. That's the way it works. And it will not really work to the optimum any other way. Isn't that great?
Amen.
And that's just Christianity 101. But I mean, I'm just wild about the fact that the local church is described as the body. I'm sorry, not as the body of Christ. Of course, it is described as the body, but it's described as the bride of Christ. Do you understand that when you join, that when you are baptized, you are added to the local church? See, baptism, water baptism, is not just something you do to confess that you've, you know, committed your life to Christ. It is that, but it also is the, how shall I say, the gateway through which an individual is added to that local church.
Right,
God adds you to, in other words, there's a mystical union, a spiritual union that occurs in water baptism, very similar to the mystical union that takes place when a man and a woman are joined in holy matrimony. Very similar. This is why Ephesians 5 says what it says.
Yes.
And that local church is called the bride of Christ. Listen to me. Every local church on the planet operates under the authority of Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah.
There is no appeal to her decisions.
Right.
Now everything she does, see, did you know the fact that Christianity has a habitual respect for the dignity of women even applies to the church? Everything she does is supposed to be under the authority and honoring her husband, and the great thing about that is her husband never is wrong. I am wrong, and wives, I'm sorry that we men are wrong. Sometimes. I am also sorry that you women are wrong sometimes.
Right.
It's just the way it is. But the church is married to someone who is never wrong. Yeah. I mean, isn't that just great? That is so great. So let's follow him.
Yeah.
Follow him. Not PB tradition. not the writings of the elders. No, not confessions. Have you ever considered how insane it is that the Apostles' Creed is called the Apostles' Creed when it wasn't written by a single apostle?
Right. That's right.
That just drives me nuts. I make a motion that we as the bride of Christ in every place, every local assembly, is individually the bride of Christ. Listen to me. I'm not talking about the entire body of primitive Baptists all over the country being the bride of Christ. No! I'm talking about the local assembly. And I think that's even taught in Exodus 12. There wasn't just one lamb slain in Exodus 12. There was one for each house. I'll just let you think about that. Okay. And then the other thing I love to think about, as I've got 6 minutes, and I'm so satisfied. I'm so glad Bryce is here. I'm so glad he's here. I love him so much. I just love him. The other thing I love maybe even more than that is the fact that the church is called the mother of us all. You know what mothers do? This, you know, you don't know why. Listen, okay, it looks to me like, and I'm not saying I'm right, but it looks to me like that when you're raising kids, and raising kids is about 25 years of hard labor, Y'all are all laughing, but you know I'm right.
Yes.
And by the way, that is why, listen to me, that is why only people who are married under the authority of Almighty God are ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. But anyway, well, it looks to me like the first, you know, half of raising kids, the mama is the more important one.
Yep.
And the latter part, daddy comes swinging in there and get a little more important. You men, I'm telling you, you better be ready to be the spiritual leader in your home, and that means the primary disciplinarian of your children. Don't you leave that to your wife. Now, women, you got to take care of that most of the time. But I would not, listen, I would not, and still will not, let my sons disrespect my wife.
Amen.
I will not allow it.
Right.
I'll get up in their grill.
Amen.
Tell him. I think Christ feels the same way about his bride. Why did he say to Paul what he said on the road to Damascus? Why are you persecuting me? You may spit on me, and I may just get my handkerchief out. That's what Seth never could say handkerchief. You spit on me, I'll get my handkerchief out. You spit on Becky, you're going to have something to deal with.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, Christ is the same way about his bride. So, okay, so the mother, first half, look, of the two, husband and wife, which of the two has the capacity and the wherewithal and, shall I say, the equipment to dispense milk to the baby?
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you, is it not interesting that Almighty God calls his bride the mother of us all because she is the one that has the wherewithal and the capacity and the equipment, so to speak, to dispense the sincere milk of the word to the Lord's children on this earth? It is the job and the privilege and the responsibility and the grace of the bride, the mother of us all. And this is God's honoring and respecting the dignity of women.
Amen.
As a local church, and I thank you for your great attention. You're so wonderful. I love you.